Have you ever had a goal that just consumed you? And it was all that you thought about? Maybe it was because of this goal it helped you get up early in the morning. Maybe it was to finally achieve that 7-minute mile. Maybe it was in preparation for a wrestling tournament. Maybe it's about planning that family reunion. Or maybe perhaps as we're here, looking forward to seeing one another, especially in the celebration of our Lord's resurrection. Or perhaps it's a project that has been given to you that you find much joy in working in because of the way in which it will help so many people. When we find that present in our hearts, it makes the task easier. We don't do it begrudgingly. No one has to ask us to do it. Now, we still get exhausted, but we're not away from it for too long. It's drive. It's passion. It's what demonstrates what we long to do. And it's something that you and I need. And while you and I have many goals in this life, where does eternal life rank among them? Is it our highest priority? Every day, especially during the season of Easter, we are about the resurrection of our Lord. The fact that Jesus Christ was triumphant over death, even that which many, if not all of us, fear, could not hold Him. Despite the overwhelming opposition for those that desired His death, despite the torments He experienced, the betrayal of a friend, the scourging, the mockery, the absence of all those whom He loved when He most needed them, He came what He set out to do, to die so that you might live. It's greater than all the combined victories of mankind, past, present, and the ones to come. It's so great because this simply is not an achievement of man, but of the God-man, Jesus Christ, for the salvation of souls, for the salvation of the many. Yet when we come here in the presence of the church and celebrate Easter, it is not, Christianity, a spectator sport. Jesus is not simply for us, looking for us to give Him the likes, the thumbs up with His resurrection. Great job. As He made it so clear with His disciples, He makes it clear to us. In Matthew 16, 24 to 25, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And so some of us might think, well, you know, why do I want to go and follow Jesus? Well, it's because that He is the one who will lead us to eternal life. He is the one who will lead us to the everlasting pastures of heaven. He is the one who will lead us on the right path so that indeed we will be at that place where there will be no more tears, no more sadness, no more wailing or pain. Nothing but joy and only happiness for us forever. And sometimes we have this idea in our mind that because Jesus had done this great work for us, and that's all there is. All I have to do is simply profess Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Just simply say the words. But the reality is that He wants us to have a share in His life totally and completely. You know, anything that's worth its weight in life, it requires effort. You know, if we have a relationship that we need to mend, you know, we just simply don't wait until it happens. We take a look at ourselves, see what part is our problem that we need to address with humility. We have conversations. We try to make things work. If we're trying to build our growing family, we know that it's going to require a lot of sacrifice. Doing things not necessarily on our own timetable, but the things in which will support the needs of our family. It's about making sacrifice. With this passion, with this drive, we then find the need to prioritize the things that are most important. And the same goes with Jesus Christ. He has to be number one. After all, what does He stand for? What is it that we celebrate? You know, we celebrate, like I mentioned before, the greatest victory that will ever be. And if we believe that in our heart of hearts, how is it that we can think that our lives with Jesus is simply whatever we want to make of it? You know, sometimes we fall into the trap of the world, you know, as we're called to be out of the world, where we see so many things that attract us with our senses, then we think, well, that's worth my time, that's worth my energy, that's worth my effort. And we go after those things and we're left exhausted. You know, and some of those things don't even deliver. Some of those things only give us temporary delight. Actually, all of it gives us temporary delight. None of it is lasting. You know, you might win that wrestling tournament and then you got a certificate to show for it. For what? For what? You know, you get this high, you get this joy, and that fades away. You know, you get that 7-minute mile and you're able to run well, that 5K. But at the end of the day, at the end of your life, what does it amount to? What does it amount to in relationship to our faith? What do all the achievements of the world amount to in relationship to what Jesus Christ has done for us? And I think at times all of us get so attracted by the things of the world that we lose sight of the reason why we're here. We're here not because we're going back and reflecting on memory lane of how it is that Jesus Christ has won the victory. So it's an opportunity for us simply to get together, go home, see friends and family, and have grandma's potato salad. You know? That's not the whole point why we get together. Not knocking grandma's potato salad, but there's something greater that's here. And I hope that's what we recognize. I hope that's something that we're building towards. I hope that's something in which we question. You know, it's a good thing for us to question. But then also being open and earnest and desirous of the right answers. You know, when we think about, you know, why am I here on Easter? Why do I celebrate? You know, there's a variety of reasons why we're here. You know, we could be pulled by the ear and say, well, you're coming because we're going as a family and you're a part of this family, so gosh darn it, you will be there. Or maybe you're here because there's someone that you want to marry, and so she says, well, you're going to church with me, and you're fine. Or maybe you're here because it's simply, well, it's what we do, right? On Christmas and on Easter, we're supposed to go to church, so that's why I'm here, and that's why I'm present. And in all these ways, as we're coming here for varied reasons, you know, the Lord wants to elevate our understanding of our existence. You know, sometimes we don't spend enough time with that. You know, why am I here? Why was I created? Why do I have life? And especially as we look around us and think about the tragedies in this world and think about those whose lives were, to our eyes, cut short, or those who have endured so much and we have endured so little. Why am I here? What's my purpose? And Jesus Christ lets us know that He has given us such a great victory over death. And with that, not only gives us hope in the resurrection of life, but also empowers us to go forth into all the world and make a change. You and I are supposed to be other Christs. And sometimes when we think that, we only think about simply the lofty things, the good things, and not think about the sacrifices that are necessary, the steps that are needed for us to live in that dynamic. You know, if we're called to live like Jesus Christ, it means obeying the will of the Father and not my own. That's not something I'm prepared to do. You know, who of us is able to just go before the Father each and every morning, Father, what is your will for me? What do you desire from me? What is your plan for me? What does that look like? Oftentimes we said, I've got my schedule down. this is what's going to be. And anything that comes, you know, they're so out of luck. They're not going to get any time from me. And we have our schedule so regimented that if it's not including the direction of the Holy Spirit, then are we living for God? Do we have that drive? Do we have that passion that is necessary for us to live in greatness? You know, at the Easter Vigil, we heard of the stories that happened of old. Abraham, Moses, the prophets, how God calls the people of Israel back to that love which was lost at the beginning with Adam and Eve. And even though the people would be unfaithful, God would always remain faithful. But then it doesn't mean that it doesn't matter what we do and God will always be there. It's always our choice of how it is that we will respond to the invitation of love that God has given us. And when we think about those stories back at the Easter Vigil, it's the reminder for us not only to give biblical thanks to God, that's what we do when we remind ourselves of the things in which God has done in our lives, but to remind us that this is our story. This is our story of salvation. This is a story in which continues. The Acts of the Apostles ends with chapter 28. This is Acts 29. That you are living out that story now of how it is that you are also called to be a disciple of Christ and not simply one that just simply has this head knowledge of the faith, if we get there, but also to that heart that aches for what the Father aches for. It's about us desiring what God desires. It's about us putting our needs last and thinking about why He's put us here on earth. Because at the end of the day, that is what we asked of us. You know, as we find ourselves before the judgment seat of Christ, you know, the Lord's not going to say, well, how many trophies did you win? How many achievements did you pursue? What kind of accolades did you receive from man? It's about how did you live for my Son? How did you let them know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, as it says in John 14:6? How is it that people have come to know that He is the way to salvation? You know, so many of us compromise the truth because we accept how the world has constantly bullied Christians into being quiet. You know, the world would have us think that there is no objective truth. The world would have us descend into its madness. And if you think of the fact that if every person is entitled to believe whatever it is that they are called to believe, then how do we find any sanity in this world? You know, the reason why there exists objective truth is because of Jesus Christ, who spoke to us in very clear words, who was the one that was triumphant over the grave, triumphant over the powers of hell, triumphant over Satan. You know, and so it's crazy in this world that, you know, more and more the culture is looking to be PC about everything. Right? You know, you get things like that where it's like, well, it's okay to worship pagan gods. It's okay to, you know, worship Satan. And like, no. How about it's not? How about we take a stand? How about we decide enough is enough? You know, where we say, well, that's just objectively evil. You know, Jesus Christ stood for the truth, stood for life, stood for ways by which, you know, marveled the hearers, the Jews, all those that were present, you know, as they witness the healings, the miracles, the words of salvation. Jesus wasn't doing that simply for His own sake, to increase His popularity, to get as many friends as He can. Jesus Christ did that so that we might come to know how it is that we might arrive at salvation. Narrow is the path to salvation, Jesus told us, and broad is the way that leads to perdition. But how oftentimes in our lives do we emulate that? Sometimes we're just so afraid of the world. We cower in fear because of what others might think of us, as if they will be our judges, as if they will be the ones who, at the end of our lives, will hold the judgment seat. Only Jesus Christ has. And yet we find ourselves wasting our time on those individuals because we do not have in our hearts our Lord. We do not have in our hearts this desire to pursue Jesus Christ with every fiber of our being. We do not have in our hearts the desire to realize that in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that it shows that there is nothing for us to fear. You know, part of the beauty that comes, you know, in our church as we have the crucifix before us, it reminds us so much of how we have an advocate that knows exactly what we're going through. You know, some churches, unfortunately, they have the resurrected Christ. And we just think, well, I'm just supposed to suck it up. And when we have our crucified Lord there, then we know we have an advocate who has gone through the stuff that we have gone through. You have gone through betrayal, so has he. You have gone through pain and suffering, so has he. And all those things in which he did not merit, he was subjected to. And at times at which we find ourselves too suffering and wondering, where is this coming from? We can bring that to Jesus. We can bring that to our Lord. You know, the world is so much in need of the message of salvation. You know, we think that with the age of technology that everyone's able to know who Jesus is. They don't. They don't. You know, even those who profess that they know, they do not know the fullness of who he is, of what he stands for. You know, you start making compromises, right? You say, well, he's just a great teacher. Well, he's a symbol of good. You know, he was just, you know, someone that you look up to. Jesus Christ is God. And if we don't believe that, we do not bear the name of Christian. Jesus Christ must be someone whom we look to for direction, for help. You know, and every time that we find ourselves in difficulty and duress, we can go and confide to him because he is alive. He is here. You know, when we think about the resurrection, do we understand that reality? You know, sometimes we think it's such a story that happened long time ago that it has no relevance in my life. Jesus is so relevant. Even at times when the culture thinks that, you know, we need to get up with the times and change things and make it conform to the world always changes. As we, anyone who studied history knows that. And so Jesus Christ gives us the constant, the way by which we are able to be rooted in reality so that we can finally understand ourselves, understand who God is, and learn how to operate in this life. But so many of us, you know, if we don't find ourselves falling in love with Jesus and pursuing him with everything that we have, if we don't find ourselves having that passion, then what ends up happening is that the world then will tell us, dictate to us, let us know who it is that we ought to be. And will let us know that, oh, whatever you think or whatever you think you want to be, that's just who you are. Just embrace it. Just celebrate it. We just think about all those who are growing up in the world, you know, our children. How many of them even know what food they should eat? You know, they're left their own vices. They just eat all Cheez-Its and M&Ms. And we think, do we want to say, well, you do you. Well, that's great, you know. Yeah, let's not do anything about nutrition. You know, or how that affects the body. No, it's, if that's what you want to do, you want to stay up all night, that's great. You do you, right? And all of a sudden we think, okay, well that, we wouldn't do that. But yeah, we do that to our brothers and sisters. We do that to our brothers and sisters when we don't stand up for the truth. We do that to our brothers and sisters when we don't say, there is a better way. And I know where you are right now, and I know you're struggling, and I know it's difficult, but there's a better way. And Jesus Christ demonstrates to us that better way. Because he wants us to live life to the full and not be lost. Jesus Christ is for us. He's not against us. He's not the wall to our happiness. He's not the one that, you know, brings us down when we want to have joy. Just remember the wedding at Cana. What happened? Jesus turned the wine to water. No! Jesus turned the water into wine, right? And it wasn't some cheap wine either, right? He's like, celebrate. You know, the guy's like, woo, like you guys are off. Like, you serve the best stuff first and then the worst stuff last, because they're all, but you left the best stuff last. Like, you guys are crazy. And that's because Jesus Christ, right, had changed that from water into wine, showing us, yeah, he wants us to celebrate. You know, he wants us to have victory, you know, but in the good things, in the holy things, in the ways that lead us to heaven. The Father wants to infuse within us that joy and passion over his Son's victory over death. It means finding ourselves doing what Jesus did, being obedient to the Father's will, not our own. Prayer has got to be like the oxygen our lungs need. You know, we can't get enough of it. You know, far gone should be that idea that, you know, did I pray every day? No, you know, I was just too busy. Lord, I love you. Wow, that's a prayer. How long did that take? Right? And how about being desirous about what our Lord was also desirous to give his apostles? You know, on Holy Thursday, we had the reading from the Gospel in which Jesus had said to his disciples, right? And it was prefaced before, in that Gospel reading, it was prefaced before saying, knowing that he was going to die, right? And all dominion and power belong to him. Then he said, you know, I've greatly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And that, if you really think about it, sounds like a very odd thing. You know, why did he earnestly desire, greatly desire to eat this Passover with them before he was to die? You know, was there some kind of specially made lamb that was only eaten every 10 years? Was there going to be a great gathering of people and he just loved being around people? You know, why did he greatly desire this? You know, to greatly desire something, you know, is to have an exceptional longing. That means to have some intentionality behind it. And what did he do at the Last Supper? He gave them the Eucharist. He gave them his body and blood. He knew that he would die and be away. And for him, he loves us so much that he could not bear that he be parted from us. He could not bear that he be parted from us, and so what does he do? Instead of focusing on himself and telling his disciples, you know, pray for me, be with me, hey, you guys, I'm going to have a hard time with this. You know, the people are going to come and they're going to be relentless and they're going to want my death. And there's a tendency for you to run away. Don't run away. Jesus Christ instead said, this is my body. This is the chalice of my blood. He said, this is the way at times when I will be away from you, that you will have me again. Do we desire our Lord as he desired that for us? How we live demonstrates how much we value his sacrifice. God demonstrated that your life was worth dying for.